Welcome all Christians, all believers and non-believers, that we welcome everyone, that we truly understand Christian hospitality. Holy God, that we will strive to be more like Christ, Christ who always welcomes everyone. We thank you, God, for the ministry of these young people that are among us. We pray for each and every one of them, Lord, because you know them by name as you know us, as we pray for ourselves. We pray that you'll bless them, bless their ministry. Bless them, God, as they worship you in such wholesomeness and such love. We pray that you'll go with them always. Bless our church now, Lord God, and speak because we're listening. Holy Jesus, speak. Speak because your children are listening for a word of hope and a word of love and a word of that strengthens, Lord God. Speak because we're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. So I'm glad that you're here. And who would have thought that when I received an email in the mail about this choir, about this group, never met you before, who would have thought that Missy would have given me the email, and I read it, and I said, why? And then the Holy Spirit says, why not? And I decided to go forth, and I've just met you all, never met you before, but thanks be to God, met you on Friday, that you came and you've touched our lives. You've touched my life.
Amen.
And it brings tears to my eyes because I know that heaven looks down.
Amen.
He says, when you love one of these, my children. Oh, thank you, Lord. My sermon title today is Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling. Jesus calls us. And there's a story I read. I'd like to share it. I read a story about Leslie Flynn, who told of a small boy being raised in a frontier house. A small boy being raised in a frontier city by his grandmother. One night, the house catches on fire. The grandmother, trying to secure the boy who was asleep in the bedroom upstairs, is overcome by smoke and dies in the fire. This frontier city doesn't have much of a fire department. A crowd gathers around the house and they hear a small boy crying out for help. The floor is a wall of flames and no one seems to know what to do. Suddenly, a man pushes through the crowd and begins climbing on iron drainage pipe which runs to the roof. The pipe is hot from the fire, but he makes it to the second floor window. The man crawls through the window and locates the boy. With the crowd cheering encouragement, the man climbs back down the hot iron pipe with the boy on his back and his arms around his neck. A few weeks later, a public meeting was held to determine in whose custody the boy could be placed. Each person wanted the child would be allowed to make a brief statement. The first man said, I have a farm and would give the boy a good home. He would grow up on the farm and learn a trade. The second person to speak was a local school teacher, and she said, I am a school teacher and would see to it that he received a good education. Finally, the banker said, Mrs. Morton and I would be able to give the boy a fine home and a fine education. We would like him to come and live with us. The presiding officer looked around and asked, is there anyone else who would like to say something? And from the back row, a man rose and said, these other people may be able to offer some things I can't. All I can offer is my love. Then he slowly removed his hands from his coat pockets. The hand with which he held on to the hot piping was terribly burned. The burn healed, but it left a deep scar that he would carry to his grave. For a few moments there was quiet in the room. The eyes of some were dimmed. There was something in the sight of the scarred hand which appealed to their sense of justice. He had a claim on the boy by reason of what he had suffered for him. So when the question was put to vote, the meeting decided by a majority in favor of the man, because he had the scars in his hand to show Hallelujah. That he loved the boy.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
We have a Savior who has the scars in his hand to show that he loves us. We have a Savior. What a blessing. The songwriter says, there's a song that we sing, softer than yours. Wonderful energy you have. It says, softly but tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See all the portholes. He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. And then the refrain says, come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners to come home. And so today I want to talk about Thomas. And I truly want to believe that Thomas, the story of Thomas, we always hear it and we think of doubting Thomas. We think of the word, the one word. And we always, you know, we all have doubt. You know, there's nobody without doubt. But I truly believe that these words of this song, these famous words of this little song that so many other songwriters would say they wished he had written it, I truly believe that Jesus was calling Thomas softly and tenderly. Thomas did not believe. The scripture tells us that. Thomas had doubt that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus wasn't angry with Thomas. When Jesus appeared, the scripture tells us, Jesus appeared to his disciples after his death and resurrection. We read in the scripture, it says, later that day the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. So they were afraid that the Jews who did not believe were going to come after them. Jesus entered and stood among them and says, peace to you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. The scarred hand. The hands of love. Show them these things so that they would see his scars. The scars that he had received for all of us. For me, for everybody here, and for you young people. The scars in his hands. His side. Dying for us. So that no matter what, we have the hope of eternal life. No matter what. No matter what our circumstance. No matter what our situation. That in Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. I want you to remember this today. No matter what. No matter how difficult it is sometimes. No matter what the future holds. In Christ, you have the hope of eternal life. In him, you live and move and have your being. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you have doubts, he's constantly calling. Softly and tenderly calling us to come back to him. Never gives up on us. And so scripture tells us that Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. And just as the Father sent me, I send you. And then he took a deep breath and he breathed on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Because they would need the Holy Spirit to do the work God had called them to do. The disciples would receive the Holy Spirit then, and then on the day of Pentecost, everybody else would receive the Holy Spirit. He says, if you forgive someone their sins, they're gone for good. You don't have to forgive their sins. You don't have to keep doing it. You have the power now to forgive their sins, the Message Bible says. But Thomas was missing. Thomas was still hiding somewhere. And I want to submit to you that Jesus was gently calling Thomas. Constantly calling Thomas. He's always calling us. And he's not bouncing, he's not loud, he's not screaming, he's not mean. He just keep calling, waiting for us to come home. Come home, I'm here for you, come home, no matter what the circumstance. He says, but Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples told him, we saw the master, but he said, unless I could put my hands in the scar in his hands, unless I see the nails in his hands and put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now, if it was many of us, we would just have given up on Thomas, would we? We'd have given up on Thomas because Thomas doesn't believe. But scripture tells us, guess what happens? 8 days later, Jesus is calling Thomas softly, tenderly. Wherever Thomas is hiding, Jesus is speaking to Thomas. And the Bible tells us that 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. And this time, Thomas was with them. And guess what happened? Jesus shows up. Amen. And he came through only for Thomas. Because the other disciples already seeing him. Do you know that he only came true for Thomas? Do you know that Jesus will show up here just for one of us?
Amen.
That's what the scripture tells us. If one coin is lost, he'll search till he finds it. If one sheep is lost, he will search until he finds it and bring that sheep home. Each and every one of you young people and every one of us here is important to the Lord. Every single uniquely made and created by God of you, each of you, is precious to the Lord. Each of us, created uniquely by God, different. Our fingerprints are different. We are created by the Lord. They were to take the stamp of our fingerprint and said that we're all different. Yet in Christ we are created by him, and he continues to call us home to him. Continues to welcome us. And so friends, Jesus, the scripture tells us, Jesus shows up and he shows up for Thomas. And Jesus came through the locked doors and stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he focused his attention on Thomas. The Message Bible says then he focused his attention on Thomas. This morning Jesus is focusing his attention on somebody. He's focusing his attention on a few of us. Some of us are weary, some of us are doubtful, some of us are concerned, some of us are struggling, but Jesus is focusing his attention on us.
Amen.
Because he won't give up, you see. And he's calling us. Softly and tenderly, come to me. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light, the scripture said. Oh, what a savior. Oh, we serve a risen savior. He's in the world today. Oh, great. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The highest praise. What a mighty God we serve. He says, take your finger and examine my hands. And take your hand and stick them in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. But here's something. Thomas only wanted to see him because nowhere in the scripture does it say that Thomas put his hand in his side. Thomas didn't have to do it. He only wanted to see him. He never put his finger. He wanted to see Jesus. I tell you, the songwriter says, all for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Through all our suffering, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. At that moment, Thomas was pardoned. When we go to the Lord in prayer, when we seek Jesus, when we ask him for forgiveness, we are pardoned. Pardoned of our sin once and for all. No questions asked, no long dissertation, no 100-page thesis. He just says, come home. Come home. Come to me. Each and every one of us. Doesn't matter our economic status. Doesn't matter where our parents are. Doesn't matter where we come from. We have the same worth in Jesus Christ. We are at equal worth in Christ. We are all of worth in Jesus Christ. Wonderful worth. Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter what we wear. Doesn't matter how we speak. We have worth in Christ Jesus. Amen. For God so loved the world that he would die for all of us. Wherever we are, from Nepal, from Liberia, from Peru, from India, we have worth in Christ. From America, from Germany, from England, from wherever we are a melting pot in America. We have all have worth in Christ. From Jamaica, we have worth in Christ. And Jesus will show up for us just like he shows up for Thomas. Come home. And Thomas says, my master and my God. As we say, when we encounter the risen Savior in our lives again, my master and my God. Thomas did not have to touch the nails. He didn't have to prove facts. Many of us sometimes are wasting time trying to prove facts. Nowhere in the gospel did it say Thomas bend down and touch him. None of the gospel said it. The moment he saw it, he said, my master and my God. What a glorious Savior we serve. What a blessing it is to serve Jesus. And Jesus says, so you believe because you have seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. So for those of us who don't see Jesus walking the earth, young people, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to do what? Believe. We believe the word. We don't want to spend our life trying to critique the word. They leave that for schools and professors and book writers. But for us, we believe without seeing that Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior. And young people, as I speak to my congregation, you could call on him at any time. Call on him and ask him anything. Even in doubt, you could still call on the name of Jesus. For I know young people, adults have doubt and so does young folks. But even then, you could call on him. Sometimes you only have to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you now, Jesus. Lord Jesus, hold my hand. Lord Jesus, I'm alone. Lord Jesus, I feel lonely. My Bible says he'll comfort and love and take care of us. Because even we grown-ups, we get that way. Not because we're all grown and dressed up. A lot of us are lonely and weak and weary. And we too have to call on Jesus. And he says in the word, call on me, call on him and he'll answer. And he'll show you new and mighty things that we do not know. This is the Savior you sing about. This is the Jesus you sing about. This is the God you sing about. God who loves you so much that he would die for you and for me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. Does that feel good?
Yes.
Amen. Does that give you hope?
Yes.
Amen. And you know, with all of this, it is better than money. Because when we have hope, we can get money. But without hope, even people who are hopeless, who have money, some folks are just hopeless. But with that, you could hold on. I want you to remember these words when you leave here, that Jesus is always calling you to come home, to stay with him. And you can't run too far away from him. He's going to find you and with open arms and love you through it. To all of us need to be like children. Sometimes we need to receive the word like children. That's why Jesus says, suffer the little children. Sometimes we get so grown and so cynical and so critical that we lose the joy of following Christ. And so we who are grown sometimes need to be what? Childlike. Just love Jesus and accept him because he has first loved us. And when he's calling us, we too can say yes. And so we see in Revelation, we are reminded, the writer says, oh, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom priest serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, look, he's coming. He will return, you see. And every eye will see him. And even those who pierced him. And on his account all the tribes of the herd will wail. So it is to be. Amen. For he is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God for his nail-scarred hands. Amen.